chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and a part of this thing we call Easter, the Easter weekend, okay? And we still carry that on after all this time. But you know the story. They have taken Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, did a mock trial, totally wrong for the Jews to do. And the Roman authority had no authority at all to crucify him. But they did crucify him. A horrible, terrible, terrible death. You know, the Passion of Christ, I forgot the guy's name that did that, but anyway, that movie depicted all of it they could heap on him. And it was horrible, horrible indeed. And then they buried him in a grave, never used before. Well, we don't have time to get into that. Let's just skip ahead a little bit now. And on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene. Now, Luke says, and some other women, one of the Gospels says, and the other Mary. Perhaps we will read about her today. Perhaps we will not. Perhaps we don't know. But they go early, about daylight. And I always like those sunrise services we have on Easter because of their relationship to these ladies going early in the morning. They go down to the, something's not right here, right? I guess it's okay. They go down to the tomb where Jesus is buried, and you know what they found. I mean, listen, what they found there was a great message, and we may get back to that one day, but what they found there was somebody said, nothing, you're wrong. They found the clothes, the cloth that had bound Jesus. But that's not the really important thing they found. When they looked in, they found the napkin that was over his face folded, neatly folded, nicely folded, which was a message. Always, when one was dining at a table, if he got up, got too much gravy on his cuff, you don't have to go wash it off. Or maybe like my tie. If you see this now, I can tell you, one of them is a sloppy Joe, the other is chili. I had to wake my wife up. That's what I'm doing anyway. And he folded his napkin. Now, if he just wadded it up and threw it in the chair and went away, then the person serving that table knew he wasn't coming back. But if it was folded neatly, he was coming back. His was folded neatly. And can you imagine that day? The women ran because there were two angels there. You remember that? There were two angels there, and they said, he's not here. He's risen. Whoops. He's what? He's risen. Well, they'd never seen that before, had they? Come on, class. You think they ever had? What about old Zach? Zacharias? No, wrong guy. Lazarus, wasn't it? Yeah, we're on the same page again. Well, you remember Jesus said, now, he's just asleep. By the way, you believe he was asleep? I believe he was. Are you aware that you know more than you know that you know? Go with me real quickly over to John chapter 14, and Jesus said, hey, guys. I'm going away. But don't get disturbed about that. I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless, you know. And if I go away, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you can be also. You may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. What's the next statement in the Word of God? Thomas said, no, we don't. Did they? Now, we don't know. How can we know where you're going. We don't know the way. We don't even know where you're going. A quick question, class. Do you? You know where he went? He's not here. He's risen. Where'd he go? You're right. And he's there today, sitting at the very right-hand side of the throne of God, making intercession for you. Now, the next thing Jesus says to Thomas is, what? John 14:6? I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. By the way, class, who's right, Jesus or Thomas? Come on. You're right. You made a day. He always is, isn't he? Now, let's get on to late that Sunday afternoon. There are two guys. That's where we pick up here in Luke chapter 24. My wife was signaling me. Where? Okay, Luke chapter 24, and beginning there with about verse, 13. Two of those that were in Jerusalem, two of those that had been at the crucifixion, two of those that had been with that crowd the morning of the first Sunday were on their way home. They were going to Emmaus. Emmaus is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they may have been, the way the Bible describes their travel, they may have been half the afternoon going, you know. You just don't walk 7 miles up a hill real quick. Well, maybe they did, but I don't. Do you? Okay. They're trudging. I heard a black preacher preach from this text, and he said they were just trudging. Just trudging. And Jesus walked on. It's not unusual that Jesus would walk along with them and join them, because you see, when you were traveling, you always tried your best to go in a company. One of these days, we'll look at the Good Samaritan, and he was kindly foolish. He was traveling alone, and he got beat up and robbed and everything else. So it's not unusual if they're traveling and a guy comes along, he can join them and go with them, and they would expect that. But then Jesus asked them a question. What's wrong with you guys? Don't you just love it when somebody comes up and says, hey, what's wrong with you? Now, sometimes on Sunday morning, Bob, I stand here and wonder, what in the world's wrong? You know, just by looking at people's face. He said, you're kindly sad. What's wrong? Well, that gets us into my introduction now. That's just the text. Here's the introduction. Last night I sat, because we don't have a TV, I sat over here and watched Villanova just annihilate Oklahoma. I don't know. I left. I got so discouraged and disgusted. I just don't like to see a ball game when it's 90-40. Do you? I mean, there's no fun in that. There was no fun in it for the Oklahoma team, and there was no fun in it for the Villanova team. And I know that when they interviewed the coach at Villanova, he said, whew, I never expected that. And I know when, when they interviewed the Oklahoma coach, whew, I never expected any team member, even the 11th bench rider in the locker room after the game, would have said, oh, we never expected that. Now, I didn't. Did you? Now, if you're not a basketball fan, just forget it. We lived on a lake down in Florida, and there was a guy out there fishing. And it's called jungle fishing. You fish down through the lily pads to where the crappie are, and the big lunkers, the slabs, will run around those lily pad stems, and I mean pulling it out, and you've got a whale on. And an old boy was standing out on the pier, and he threw out the lily pad. And oh, man, he was making noise, and he was jerking and pulling and jerking. And everybody was giving him instructions, you know, hey, now wait a minute, don't pull, he'll break off. Don't, you know, take it easy. Let up a little, let him run, pull him back, let up, let him run, pull him back. Get him right over there if you can. He got him over here. Now then, you wind him in. And that big crappie was never been that long. He never expected that. Now, here's one that I can't forget. One night, sitting on a bridge over the Buffalo River in Arkansas, and when you were broke, this is where you took your wife, your girlfriend on a date. Now, usually there would be enough nickels and dimes that we could put them all together and drive into the store and get marshmallows and build up a little fire, and we'd have a marshmallow roast. One night, that crowd thinned out, and I looked over to those pretty brown eyes and said, I want to ask you something. And Peg Loring said, what? Would you marry me? You know what? I wasn't expecting her to say what she said. She said, yes. Now, I knew her daddy really didn't like me, and her mom just couldn't stand me. So I wasn't going to ask them first like I was supposed to. Who would have thought it? That's where we get to with these guys. They're going along, and they said to Jesus, are you the only guy in all of this country that don't know what happened in Jerusalem? What happened? Whoa, this man Jesus. Watch it. This guy, Jesus, they took him, just what I told you a while ago. They crucified him, all that. And we were not expecting that. We were hoping he had set up the throne of David and he would rule over Rome. I mean, we become kingpin again. We just wasn't expecting that. Anything ever happened to you that you were not expecting? Caught you by surprise? You didn't know, kind of, what did I do with this? I guess you got me tuned in for right here, it sounds like. I get over there and it bounces off. Oh, I got it. Listen, folks, just give me time. In a month or two, I'll have this almost perfect. We were expecting. So that begins the sermon. My wife asked me this morning, how many points in this sermon? I said, 6. Now listen, this is her. She's 3 points in a poem with a very brief introduction. She said, buddy, you better get on your bicycle and go. But you come to think of it, it would really be embarrassing if the preacher's wife got up and walked out on him, wouldn't it? Don't you think? That kind of be embarrassing. Okay, we were expecting. They had an erroneous expectation. See, we thought, has God always fit your thinking? Has Jesus been just what you thought he would be? Let me take you on a journey right quick. Yeah, that one's way over there. Okay, let me take you on a journey. Let's go back in time. You remember that time out in that little country church on Tuesday night, in a revival meeting in August, when that big empty spot in you just kept growing and growing and growing and growing, and you knew something had to be done. I've got to get rid of this, man. It's driving me nuts. I was afraid to go to sleep at night, afraid I'd die and go to hell, and I didn't want to do that. Any of you all got that plan? Well, if you're planning on doing that, you need to see me right after church. And by the way, if you're feeling bad, see me before or after church. This is critical. And you go back there with me. What were you expecting? You know what I was expecting? We're going to flip this Hummer one way or the other if I had to bring my hammer to church with me. You know what I was expecting? I was expecting to get rid of this thing. It was eating me alive. But I didn't get rid of it. I mean, it was right there. But now it's full of something. We sing about it. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory and what? And the half hasn't yet been told. I mean, I got so much more than I expected, like the Bible says. It hasn't ever entered into your heart or your mind. And you never seen it and you'll never hear it. All the things that God has laid by in store for you. Have you been there? Now, if you haven't, you need to get with Jesus. We were expecting. They had an erroneous expectation. And now, I promise you, I'll go fast. Okay. But they had a true insight. They knew, as they went on that road, they knew who he was. They knew what he had done. They had seen all the miracles that he had done. You ever took a good look at Jesus? Now, you don't have to look far. Just look at your life. Look what he's done for you. Someone asked me the other day, 3 months ago, something like that. If you could just sit down and write out your life's ministry, what would you have done? I said, I would never got close. Just never got close. Listen, I had no idea when I went that September the 25th, 1955, on Sunday evening down there and told my pastor that I was committing my life to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had absolutely no idea it'd be like it's been. I have literally, and thank God, praise Jesus for it, I've had the opportunity to preach around this world. In fact, in what year was that? 03 or 93? 93. If I had have been brave enough, and I'm a coward, you'll learn that quick enough, if I'd have been brave enough to have got on an airline in Seoul, Korea, and flown to Moscow, that year alone, I would have went around the world. But I had one trip on Russian air already, and I promised the good Lord if he would get me off of that airplane and back on solid ground, I would never ride, and I won't, another Russian airline. We went down the runway, and the plane on its landing gears was doing this number. You'd think we were singing Amazing Grace. And the flight attendant, the young man said, oh, this is pretty good shape. It's not bad. I'm sweating it. He said, oh, listen, the newspaper here just never lets it out. TV here never lets it out. All the planes, Russian airlines, that crash. Now I'm really feeling great. Son, when you get in the Army, if they want you to fly in a Russian airline, go AWOL. It'll work. Okay, now, they have a true insight. They knew who Jesus was. My question in class is, do you know who this Jesus is? Now, you don't know all about him, but I'll tell you one thing. You need to know this. You need to know that he left heaven, gave up all the glory of heaven, all the splendor of heaven, all the joy of heaven, and he was worshipped day and night forever and forever, and he gave that up and came down and died this horrible death for you on the cross. Now then, but they did have an erroneous expectation. What they thought was not what Jesus was going to do. But if you look at verse 25 through 27, they had a right revelation. Jesus is walking along with them. What's the matter, guys? I'm going to recruit a deacon here in a minute to come hold this thing by my mouth. Okay. And they said, you don't know? And what does the Word of God say? And he began with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Class, who wrote the book of Genesis? All right, got it. Now you can smile. You made another A. All right. And he began with Moses and the prophets. And what did he do? He preached to them Jesus. Let me tell you what Dr. R.G. Lee said one time in preaching. He said, every page in this book has Jesus written all over it. Got it? And he began it and went all the way through the prophets. Can you see him preaching to them? Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every man to his own way. And the Lord God Almighty has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You remember that? Listen, everything you ever did wrong, everything you ever did that you're ashamed of, everything you ever did you don't want your mama to know about, Jesus died for that sin, paid the price in full. All you've got to do is come to him. Now, I won't try to tell you what it means there when it says their eyes were blinded that they couldn't see. But have you ever had that experience? Now, look holy. Look real righteous. Get your halo up bright and shiny. Clean it off good. Not me. Oh. Have you ever been going right down the road in the book? And you come across something, and you know you've read that before, but it didn't say anything to you before, but now it's just shouting out at you. See? They didn't see. I said all, not all week, because we had to move some in this past week, but I sat in my study and read it and tried to find out when it said their eyes were closed that they could not see. Maybe that happens just more often than we think. Now then they had a very spiritual revelation. He preached to them Jesus. But that wasn't where it came from. There was another experience they had when he was preaching to them all the way through the Old Testament, Jesus. I may have told you I was preaching a revival a few years ago. And the pastor accused me of not preaching anything but Old Testament. Well, what did the New Testament guys preach? They didn't have the New Testament, so they preached the Old Testament. Anyway, he preached the Old Testament. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know what? It's all about him. It's all about him. The very minute you get something expected to come your way, you've got an erroneous expectation. It's all about him. Now then they had a very uplifting fellowship. I love this part of this story. Now they get to their house in Emmaus, and they start to go in. Now some scholars, some theologians, some commentaries say that the partner with Cleopas was his wife. Half-sister to Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't know where they got that. I looked all over and couldn't find it. But he acts like he's going to go down the road. Now watch this. And they said, wait a minute, where are you going? Well, it's too late. You can't go down that road by yourself. Maybe that's why the Bible, I'm drawing this way out of left field. Maybe that's why the Bible says that you always walk in a company and not alone, because if you walk alone and you stumble and fall, there's nobody there to help you up. Folks, listen, that's a good reason for coming to church. Now, I want to stop right here. I want to ask you something. What were you expecting when you came to church this morning? Did you ever hear anyone make this statement? Boy, that service sure never did anything for me. You ever hear anybody say that? If that's what they were expecting when they came to church, to have something done for them, then that's a guarantee you're not going to have anything done for you. Did you come to church this morning with an erroneous concept like this? Well, this is a Baptist church, so they ought to act like Baptists. And you do. I mean, praise you, Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. I'm serious. Is there anything wrong with celebrating. Maybe we need what these old boys had. They sat down with Jesus. They got out a 2-day-old loaf of bread. What are you expecting anyway? I'm looking at you, folks. Tell your face something quick. But Jesus broke the bread. All that means in this context, and the words used here, is that they had fellowship together. Did you come expecting the fellowship with Jesus Christ this morning? Well, I hope so. Because that's what the word about Jesus does. It opens up your life. These guys say, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit because she is really cranking me up. These guys say, didn't our hearts just burn within us when he talked us the word? Does that do it for you? When someone's preaching the word, you're looking at the Bible, nobody's preaching, you're just looking at the Bible, and the word of God jumps out and gets a hold of you, does it cause you to get excited in your heart to burn within you? But that's not the motivation they had. They were breaking bread with Jesus. I want to remind you, they had just said to Jesus a few, maybe an hour, a minutes ago, whatever, they just said to him, it's too late, you can't go anywhere else. You got to stop and spend the night. We'll hang you on the Baptist pallet. Look on the wall. Folks, I'm really trying to get you into this. Okay, let's go and I'll finish. Sometime another. And they broke bread with Jesus. Then they began to see, does the Lord's Supper do that for you? You remember that broken body. You remember that shed blood. You remember that cry from Calvary. It's finished. It's finished. It's done. And these old boys jumped up. Now get this. Immediately they take off back to Jerusalem at 7 miles. Now I don't know how fast they could run. But they get there before everybody goes to bed. You know what they said? They opened the door and ran in, and the disciples, the apostles, the 11, and the others that were with them began to say to them, he's risen. He really is risen. He's really risen. He's not in that grave. He's really risen. Well, he's appeared to Peter and John, Mary, and told them not to get a hold of him yet. He showed himself to people all over Jerusalem. He's risen. And these old boys now, they have the right expectation. Yep. I have a question for you in closing, class. Have you had that experience with Jesus Christ? Where you fellowship with him and he fellowship with you? Where the word of God became alive? And all those expectations that... I've got to throw this in. How many of you will give me 30 seconds? Well, let's see. I need about, okay, there you go. Now that would be about 8 or 9 minutes, and that's just what I need. Thank you. Now, the word of God is spoken, and the word of God is burned in our hearts, and Jesus is fellowship with us. Did you come for that this morning? Is that why you're here? Oh, listen. He wants just to bend over. I don't know about that. But he wants to look right down out of heaven and say, let me warm your hearts. If you're discouraged, you got the wrong expectations, let me warm your hearts. If you come to church today not knowing what to do, let me warm your hearts. Let me inspire you. Let the word of God talk to you and tell you and reveal to you what he has. Did you come this morning thinking, oh my, I would sound negative, and I never want to do that, but I would sound negative if I told you what you look like you came expecting. But I won't say that because that wouldn't be good. Listen. He's risen. He burned our hearts. He warmed our fellowship. He caused us to be so motivated that we did what we never thought we could do. We turned around and ran 7 miles back. Goodness. They were motivated, right? So, I close with this question. What did you expect? What did you expect? When you came today, did you expect God just to reach down and warm your hearts? Did you expect God's Word to begin to speak to you and to tell you and to reveal to you the things that God wants you to do and things that God wants you to be? I dare say now, I'm going to watch this one until I get over here. I dare say that He may be saying to some of you, you know, you've been cold and discouraged and downhearted long enough. It's high time you got excited about your fellowship with me and your relationship to me. He may be saying to some of you, hey, there on that cross when these old boys described what all they did to me, that was for you. I died for your sins. I died so that you might have life. I want you to have life and have it everlasting. I want you not only to have everlasting, but I want you to have it more abundantly. I want you to be filled with joy and the glory of heaven. And I want to offer it to you today. And He allows me that privilege of offering you a life that lasts forever. Peggy Lorraine's 79 years old. Is that right? Yeah, she's 79 years old. How long do you think she expects to live? Oh, let's make it 21 years. That'd make her 100, wouldn't it? You going to get there? Yeah, you are. She's going to live forever. She's going to live forever. And the best part about it is everything after 100 gets better. Right? I mean, we haven't even dreamed of the things that the Lord Jesus has laid by in store for us if we'll just accept them. Will you accept them this morning? If you're here without Christ in your heart, your heart's never burned within you, you've never been inspired to do something for the Lord, do it. If you're here this morning, and like Peggy Lorraine and I, we this morning, we've talked about it, we've prayed about it, and it's probably the right thing to do. We're going to move our membership to this church. We're going to unite with New Life Fellowship, and we're going to be a part of this. And this is what that means now. That means that whatever giftedness we have spiritually, we are to invest in this church for the glory of Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, you're the preacher. That's right, but that's just one gift I have. Now, you've been around a while, you'll understand that that gift's not really a good one. I mean, I'm not a real good preacher. I have some other gifts that I think they just don't have a calling attached with them. But anyway, we're going to do what God wants us to do. That was the biggest struggle. I want you to know this now, but on the front end here, this was the biggest struggle we ever had. When I first started preaching, that was back when preachers' wives took care of the nursery. They led the WMU. They janitored the church. You know, all of those things were expected. Nobody asked her if she wanted to. Just, you know. Well, we've kind of discovered that God's gifted us spiritually with gifts that are to be used in His church for His glory, just like He's gifted you in the area of music for His glory. It's the only place He wants you to use that. So you may be here this morning and say, well, all right, preacher, as long as God keeps us here, we believe He's leading us here to be a part of this fellowship for the glory of Jesus Christ. But here's the biggie. You heard me refer to on September the 25th, 1955, on Sunday evening. I said, yes, Lord, yes. I knew at that moment His call on my life was to be ministry. Pastoral. Man, back then, and, well, let's see, not any of it that old, but you know, back then, the only thing you could, quote, surrender to, unquote, was pastoral ministry. Now, most of my ministry hasn't been necessarily in that realm. But God has said to you this morning, I've got something I want you to do. Oh, you're honored. Oh, you're blessed. What greater blessing than that God would say, I want you to do this for me. So, look at that too. Stand up. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation song. But I want you to bow your heads, please. I want you to just meditate with God on what you've heard today, what the Word said today, how the Word burned in your heart, the fellowship you've had with Jesus Christ today, and then say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you have? If you have anything for me, what is it? I want to do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, wonderful, mighty, glorious name of Jesus, we stand in your presence. Oh, how humbled we are that you allow us a presence with you, an audience. You let us speak to you, a holy God, a mighty God, an everlasting God. You let us speak to you. How blessed we are, how it causes our hearts to burn. And so in that name of the one who sits to your right hand, who makes intercession as our advocate with you, in his name we come before you. And this is what we cry out. Thy will be done. Be honored, be glorified, be exalted. Build the church of Jesus and lift up his name as we make our commitment to your word and to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Anyway, he's going to sing us back here. I want to invite you to come and do what Jesus wants you to do. Peggy Lorraine, you come up here. The only time in the world she ever does what I say, but you come on up here. Okay. If God's leading you in any way to make a decision related to him, his will, his in your life, and his purpose for your life, we want to give you that opportunity to come do it.